Oh, I think we're recording. Welcome, guys. How's it been so far? You have done very much, right? But how's it been?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah? Okay. We're going to talk about value and worth. Thanks for coming, even though you didn't know you were going to be here today, right? This is supposed to be tomorrow. Okay. Have any of you ever seen Antiques Roadshow?
No.
Anybody have any idea what Antiques Roadshow is? No. Teague, tell us what Antiques Roadshow is.
So it's basically...
Okay, everybody be quiet. Good job. Then you can listen. Oh, that's outside. Okay, Teague, what's Antiques Roadshow?
So it's people that go around the country and people bring them, like, antiques from their family, and then they tell them what it's worth.
Yeah, so are these people professionals or just random people? Yeah, professionals who have a lot of knowledge, historians. So they bring their antique stuff, usually like family heirlooms, and they say, what is this worth? Some people walk away super stoked because this item that has been passed down from generations to generations is worth like $1 million. Like, I cannot believe this. And some people are a little bit disappointed because they thought it was worth a lot. Grandma told them it was worth a lot. But this is actually an imposter. This one isn't a real deal. So it actually could probably sell for $5. That's about it. Okay. Some people sell their stuff. Some people just go home knowing that this was worth a lot. And that's kind of cool. We are going to play Antiques Roadshow. Do any of you do theater? You don't have to do theater to be a volunteer here, but I'm going to need 4 volunteers. I want you to be appraisers. Do you know what an appraiser is? They're the ones that say what the value of something is, okay? So I need 4 appraisers. I have 2 right here. Only girl appraisers? Okay, 1. And, okay, Liberty. She's like saying, please, she's my daughter. And so I usually wouldn't pick on my daughter, but her eyes are saying, please. And if she wasn't my daughter, I probably would have picked her because of her eyes saying, please. So, okay, come on up. All my appraisers, just stand right here. We'll do 1 at a time. And then, oh, do I have a, I don't have a whiteboard. Okay, I don't get to have a scribe. So that's fine. We'll just do appraisers. So we're not going to scribe things. So you guys just got to remember, okay? Remember, somebody, will somebody be my scribe and write it down so when I forget what it, something appraised for? Okay, Acadia, you're my scribe. So get a notebook or your phone and then write it down so that I can remember because I'm going to have to refer back to some of this information a little later. Okay, Liberty, do you want to be my first appraiser? Now, an appraiser at Antique Roadshow is not going to be like, I have no idea, right? They're going to be like, oh, wow. I've never seen one of these intact before. Who knows what movie? I've never seen one of these intact before. This is the famous Dead Sea Tupperware. Listen. Ah, still good. Nobody? Aladdin. That's from Aladdin. Did you know? Okay, he knew. Okay. So... you're acting, if you have no idea what the value of the thing that you're about to appraise is, just pretend. This is acting. Like, pretend like you know. You can do whatever you want. This is your game. You're the appraiser. You decide what you... you guys decide. You guys can totally decide this, okay? You ready? But try to be realistic. Like, don't say it's worth $100 million if it's... a piece of string, right? Like, try to be realistic, but try to, like, what do you think? Okay, I need you to step back a little bit because, yeah, you're, there you go. You ready, Liberty? Okay, this is the item I'm bringing to you. Oh, my goodness. Just a second. I'm just realizing I think this is the wrong presentation. Oh, shoot. This is going to bug me bad. Okay, it'll be fine. I'm going to hurry and try to get onto my laptop because the wrong presentation was saved, and I have a link that we're going to need later that wasn't in it before. Okay, so there you go. You have the item. Okay, can you tell me?
That is 50 years.
You got to tell people what it is because you're doing this for the camera. So you got to tell people, like, get them really excited about what it is. Oh my goodness, this is, because most of the people on the television, out there in television land, have no idea what it is that you're praising. So you got to tell the audience.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a big rock. And
Liberty, it's your thing.
This is 100 years old.
Actually, I'm going to give you this. Keep going. Just keep talking.
What
tell,
is
tell
it?
What it is.
It's just a recorder.
Keep going on your antique rope. Remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. I just realized that I somehow accidentally pushed pause on this recorder, so it wasn't recording. So sorry for any of you who go back to listen later. You missed a whole bunch of it. Oh, he's recording it. They don't need fancy recorders. I just want to set this here and not touch it anymore so I don't accidentally. But I'm going to walk around, so it might not work very good. Okay, I have a few stories that I want to tell you to help demonstrate this principle of your work. Okay. First of all, this is in Bangkok, Thailand. They have a lot of Buddhist temples. Okay. Ooh, thank you very much. They have a lot of Buddhist temples in Bangkok, Thailand. There is a special temple called the Temple of the Golden Buddha. The temple itself isn't very big and it's not that spectacular. It's about 30 feet by 30 feet. But inside the building, in the middle, is a solid gold Buddha statue that's 10.5 feet tall and weighs 2.5 tons. That's a very lot of gold. Okay? I don't remember.
Is it just gold?
And it's worth $250 million. Like the amount of gold in that Buddha. Okay? There's a little glass display case in the corner next to the Buddha with a chunk of clay. And next to that is a little paper that tells a story about golden Buddha. Okay. The story goes that back in 1957, there were some Buddhist monks that had to relocate to a different monastery. Monastery. So they had to relocate, and they wanted to take their, the Buddha at the time was solid clay. It was a clay Buddha. But for them, it was worth a lot because this is their god, right? This is something very special. So they wanted to move the Buddha with them to the new location. So they get a crane and they start lifting it. And because of the intense weight of this Buddha, it started cracking. And the head monk was very nervous because this is very special for him. So they put it back down. And it also started raining. So he put a tarp over it, a canvas tarp over it to protect it from the rain. And then they're like, go inside and try to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this Buddha, right? He is a little bit worried about it. So he goes out in the night to check on it, make sure it's not getting rain damage. He picks up the tarp and shines his flashlight to make sure it's still okay. And there's like a glare that comes back at him through one of the cracks. And he starts looking closer. And he thinks that something's probably under the clay. So they get a chisel and hammer and they start chiseling away the clay. And they find a solid gold Buddha underneath. So historians believe that several hundred years before this, back when Thailand was actually Siam, the Burmese invaded Siam. And the Burmese army, are they going to care about Buddha? No, not at all. This isn't a religious thing to them. But if they see a solid gold statue, will they want that?
Yeah.
Of course they will. So the the monks covered the golden Buddha with clay to protect it from the invading army. And they covered it. And do you think the army cared about a clay Buddha? Not at all. So the army didn't touch the clay Buddha. Unfortunately, slaughtered all of the monks. And so the story was completely gone until hundreds of years later when that monk discovered the solid gold Buddha. So how does this relate to it? I want you guys to know, I know, there's a solid gold essence in every single one of you. Lots of us get covered up by clay. Maybe we make mistakes. Maybe we get dirty. Maybe
maybe somebody else tells us that we're only clay, we're only worth that. But if you will allow those chunks of clay to come off, there is solid gold. You are gold to the core, guys. Solid gold. Okay, another story about the eagle and the chickens. There was a mountainside with a tree at the top of the mountain where this eagle resided, and she had a nest full of little eaglets. And one of the eaglets got a little brave, went out to the edge of the nest, and fell, and kind of tumbled down the cliff and landed in the valley below. There was a farm, a chicken farm in the valley below. The farmer saw the little eaglet and took it to the farm, wanted to nurse it back to health, and just to protect it, put it in with his chickens, with the chickens. And so it survived with the chickens, but after a few months, it started thinking it was a chicken. Like, it would scratch the dirt and peck and try to get some seed. It even started talking like a chicken. Bark, 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 going around trying to be a chicken like everybody around him, right? He just wanted to be like all of his friends. So the farmer tried to get the eagle to fly. Like, it was better, but the farmer would pick it up and would put it on the chicken coop fence and be like, okay, buddy, fly. And the eagle would be like, ah! And go back to the floor pecking the dirt like a chicken. Okay? So the farmer's like, okay, we gotta do something different. He takes him to the top of the hayloft, and he pushes him off the hayloft, and he's like, fly, little buddy, you're an eagle, fly. And the eagle's like, bah, bah, lands on the ground and starts pecking at the ground again, bah, 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 like a little chicken. Scared to death now of the farmer, right, who's just trying to take his life. The farmer figures, okay, if he's ever going to realize he's an eagle, we gotta do something big. So the farmer takes the eagle up to the top of the mountain where he was born. And he puts the eagle on his arm and he says, sweet buddy, you are not a chicken. You were born to soar on high, not to peck the barnyard ground. You be who you are, buddy. And he's trying to get the eagle to go, and the eagle is like, I just want to go back to the chickens. This is scary. But a gust of wind kind of picks him up, and the eagle falls off of the farmer's arms and is squawking, is scared to death, and instinctively like, ah! And his wings catch wind, and his wings pick him up, and he starts flying. And like, huge aha moment, holy cow, I am an eagle. And do you think he went back to the barnyard after flying, soaring high in the sky? That's where he was meant to be all along. Sometimes we hang out in a barnyard, and we hang out with people around us who are chickens. Figuratively speaking, right? And sometimes we can lose sight of our worth. Well, I was hoping I was going to have time to do this, but I don't think I am. But I promise you guys, you are eagles. You were born to soar on high, not to peck a barnyard ground. Okay, this is Queen Elizabeth of England. She actually died a few years ago, but she was the reigning Queen of England for 70 years. Okay? She died at age 96. In 2007, she visited the U.S. I want you to pretend with me, when she visits the U.S., how do you think people treat the Queen of England who's coming to visit us in the United States? People are bowing, right? Do you think she's treated special at all, or just another sightseer?
Yep.
How do you think people treated her?
Special.
Heavens, yes. News things came. People followed her. There were people at the airport waiting, pictures, like a big paparazzi. Like, she is the queen, guys. So she was treated very much like royalty, red carpet royalty, all out. So pretend, she's a very nice lady, I think. I've never met her. She looks like a very nice lady. Pretend like the Queen of England lifts up her dress, pulls out a machine gun, and starts popping off everybody in the crowd. Now what do you think? How do you think people are going to treat her? They may shoot back. They may tackle her to the ground. They may haul her off to prison. Do you think she's going to be treated like a queen at that point?
No.
But is she still the queen?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's got royal blood.
She has royal blood. Her parents. It's who her parents are, right? It doesn't matter how unqueenly the Queen of England acts, she will always be the queen because of her blood. Who are your parents? Who are your heavenly parents? God. Who is he?
He's your father.
He's your father, and he is a?
King.
It's in your blood, guys. It's in your blood. You are royalty. And no matter how unqueenly you might act, you will always be royalty. One more time, what matters is how you see yourself. I was hoping to be able to show you a clip from The Lion King, but the clip's 5 minutes long, and then we got to talk for 5 minutes. So I can't show you the clip. Rude. We should have started early. They started early. I would have liked to have them. Okay, but you remember the time in The Lion King when Rafiki is the baboon, and he finds Simba, who's been hiding out, right, because he thinks he killed his dad. Simba's pretty depressed about the whole thing. Nala's trying to get him to come back to Pride Rock, but he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't fit there anymore. Why doesn't he belong? Because he killed his dad. He killed the king. So that's like those queen pulling out a machine gun, right? He didn't really, and he didn't mean to. But as far as he's concerned, who he's been told that he should run away and never return because he did this horrible thing, right? Some of you mentioned mistakes that you made, and that's why you had a lower number. It's easy sometimes to hide, right? And not to face reality. But Rafiki tells him that he knows who he is, and he says, you follow Rafiki. He goes through this difficult jungle, right? And then they get to the water, and he says, look down there, there's your dad. I know your dad, he says. I'll show you where he is. He looks down there, and what does Simba say when he looks in the water?
It's reflection, and it really does look like his dad because...
But at first, it looks like him. He's like, that's not my dad. That's just my reflection. What does Rafiki say? And then he looks again, and what does he see? He sees his dad. He says, he is alive in you. And then he sees this beautiful vision, and his dad's in the skies, and his dad says to him, Simba, you've forgotten me. What does Simba say? No, I haven't. How could I forget you? What does Mufasa say? You have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are and have therefore forgotten me. Do you think when we forget who we are, daughters and sons of a king, it reflects on how much we're remembering him? You probably would never say you're forgetting your heavenly father. You'd probably never write him off, right? But as we forget our worth, as we forget who we are, in a way, it kind of does that. I love this scene because of that connection to our Father, who's the King of heaven and earth. And at the end, Mufasa says over and over again something. What does he say? Remember. Remember who you are. Remember. There's a little poem that I have for all of you, if you want it afterwards. I am a child of royal birth. My father is king of heaven and earth. My spirit was born in the courts on high, a child beloved. A prince or princess am I? I didn't know until I tried to find a cute visual to hand out to you. And it's a big, long poem, and I like the whole poem, so I didn't want to just give you that visual. I wanted to give you the whole thing. So if you want one of those, take it. I want you to remember. Remember. Okay. Those of you, how many of you gave yourself a 10 at the beginning? Because you know who you are. Those of you who gave yourself less than a 10,
If I was to ask you again to give yourself a number, honest engine, would your number have just increased? Would you be more than a 5 now? Eileen, would you be more than a 5 or more than a 3, 2 now?
Yeah.
Do you believe you're a 10?
Yeah.
Do you believe you're a 10? I hope that you believe with everything in you. It's okay for feelings to fluctuate, guys. It's okay to feel crappy one day. And it's okay to feel amazing one day. But the crappy and the amazing doesn't change who you are. You're not ever going to be better than a 10. Because you were born a 10, you'll die a 10. Nothing can change your worth. You're not ever going to be less than a 10. Remember who you are and whose you are. You are eagles, born to fly. You are solid gold. Solid gold. Good as gold. You are royalty. You are a 10. And I love you. And so do your heavenly parents. They're there to help you. One thing also that I do besides this I am poster, I have a daily declaration that I say. I even have it recorded with music in the background because I really like music. It helps me feel. What, do you remember that picture, intense emotion with a vivid picture? So the music helps me feel the emotions. I have a daily declaration. I listen to it every single day to remind me who I am. And at the end of it, it says, I trust God to know the future and to perfectly prepare me. I am His and I am enough. That's it. That's all there is to it, guys. You're 10, you're golden, you're eagle, you're royalty. Nothing will ever change that. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Do you guys have any questions? You want to talk about anything more? Because they're still talking. Should we watch the Lion King clip?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Now they're clapping. I was like, maybe we have enough time to watch Lion King.
We should play.
Huh?
Play it.
Until they kick us out.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys can go for a break. Or if you want to watch that, it's so good.
Quiet.
Uh-oh. Maybe it's not going to.
Thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
When
they can kick us out whenever they want to.
You're not following me? Who are you?
The question is, who are you?
I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
When I know who you are.
Oh yeah, it's a secret.
That's what I'm here,
Andrew! Enough already. What is that supposed to mean, anyway?
It means you're a baboon. And I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Hi.
Hey, wait. You know my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
No! Wrong again!
He's alive!
And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on. Don't go to the fire!
Oh, wait.
Come on.
Waiting for you to take off early. I mean, this isn't early. We're already late.
But feel free to take off. It's lunchtime.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No.
If any of you have a friend who might need this, please feel free to take as many as you want to share.
He lives in you.
Father?
You have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, so forgotten me. You inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king.
No, please, don't leave me. Father, don't leave me.
What was that? A wagon. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long.
Ow! Jeez, what was that for? It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
Come on, no, take your stick! And where are you going?
I'm going back.
Okay, guys, remember who you are. Love you all. If you want a hug, I got one for you with your name on it. So good to see you.
Thank you, Aunt
Rose. Oh, you're so welcome. I love you. Me too. Ooh, I love you.
I love you. I decided to have a good meeting.